Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Amen. We're going to take a little different path tonight. Not much, but just a little different than our normal routine. I'm going to share a teaching with you, and about halfway through it, I'm going to stop and bring you your study sheet and give you some time to do some work, and then I'm going to come back and conclude. Is that all right with everybody? I know it's a change in routine, and we just don't like change, but maybe right here at Christmas time, you can give me a gift of letting this happen, would you please? I've changed my mind a little bit from what I was planning to do this evening. Daniel and I were talking earlier in the week and just having a great conversation about where we're going and what we've been treating in this class, and we kind of concluded together that we've been focused this far on talking about what the kingdom is like and aspects of the kingdom and trying to give a little bit of definition to that vast topic, that huge topic of the kingdom of God. Then in January, we're going to switch streams and start talking about a practical application to real life in this age, in this century that we live in. Almost day by day, things come up in our world that call for a response from us as citizens of God's kingdom. And so we're going to do some practical application of how to live a kingdom lifestyle starting in January. However, our topic is really about the conflict of kingdoms. And we really haven't talked directly about that. And so I'm going to take tonight, before we go on hiatus until January, to talk to you a little bit about the actual conflict factor that we exist with day by day. And then that hopefully will show us how important it is that we allow the Spirit of God to direct us and empower us and enable us to respond to the situations in life, not based upon our opinion or anybody else's opinion, our preferences or anybody else's preferences, but based upon the word of the kingdom that we talked about last week. What is the message that the kingdom gives out that we are supposed to live and put in practice every day in our lives? So after talking about characteristics for these few weeks, and before talking about actually responding to life situations that call for a decision about how we're going to live, tonight we're going to talk about the actual conflict that we find ourselves engaged in. Let me just begin by saying to you that, first of all, that kingdom conflict you can pretty much count on as a constant in your spiritual journey from beginning to the end. You're going to walk through what I would call kingdom conflict. Some of us, we go through seasons when the conflict rages higher and louder and stronger than it does at other times in our personal lives. But even when our own spiritual journey is in a tranquil stage, the conflict goes on all around us. It's not something that ever stops. For you see, God's kingdom, sometimes we call it the kingdom of love and light, is perpetually and continually confronted by the kingdom of darkness. And the entire effort is intended to frustrate or confuse, or sadly yet truthfully, outright destroy us. So maximizing our awareness and then making stronger or fortifying our dependency upon God are two of the best tools that I know in this ageless, strong struggle let's just call it, between the kingdom of love and light and the kingdom of darkness. So as a basis for our few minutes of teaching tonight, let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18, and I'd like to read this passage from The Message. Interestingly, Eugene Peterson, who did the work on this paraphrase version of Scripture, he entitles this particular section that we're going to be reading tonight, A Fight to the Finish. If you have a copy of The Message, go to that passage of Scripture, and the subheading will be A Fight to the Finish. And it reads like this, beginning reading actually in verse number 10. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Very strong passage of Scripture in any version that you might read it in, and it certainly pinpoints with laser precision the conflict of kingdoms, and we are right in the middle of it every moment of our life and journey. Let's talk for a minute about the nature of this conflict. It's always been the same conflict. It's always had the same focus, and it's always had the same description. It is a conflict between darkness and light. It's the age-old struggle between the God of light and the Prince of Darkness, and it's just as simple as that. It doesn't need a great deal of explanation other than that we are caught right in the middle of an eternal conflict between darkness and light. Now, it can disguise itself in many forms, and it comes at us at many different levels. Sometimes it disguises itself as personalities. Sometimes it comes at us as causes or issues. It can even be fads or momentary trends of the hour that can be troubling to us, but we don't really understand the implications of choices we make as a result of those things. Leaders who lead us in the wrong direction. Leaders who may be attractive from one perspective or another, but they do not match the word of the kingdom. They do not match the values of the kingdom. How do we respond to all of those? This spiritual struggle between darkness and light, do you hear what I'm saying? It comes at us in a variety of forms. It comes at us in a variety of ways. It can come at us in the form of a personality. It can come at us in the form of a cause or a trend or a fad. As I was preparing for tonight, I was thinking back to just a few months ago when there was a rash of high school-aged suicides right here in our own town. And it wasn't just one, and it wasn't just two, it was several. And the one that stands out most in my mind was an outstanding young man, had a good, solid home. There was none of the normal forces that you would think of impacting his life, and he just walks out into the backyard and takes his life and hangs himself. A young high school student. I don't have any doubt that that is part of the spiritual conflict that's going on in the youth generation of our nation today. It takes many different forms. It comes at us in many different directions, and we certainly need to be prepared for it. We need to discern when the voice of darkness is speaking and when the force of darkness is at work. It impacts the decisions that we make. It impacts the reactions that we offer. It impacts the attitudes that we retain within us. It can manifest itself in words that we speak, sometimes making us say things in an attitude or with a perception that we never dreamed we could even do. It manifests itself in perceptions that gain a foothold in our minds, and we're not necessarily all that concerned about how those perceptions are true or not. They're just there, and they can sometimes eat like a cancer if we're not very careful to discern the voice of darkness or the force of darkness at work in our lives. What I'm saying is that the ways of the prince of darkness, as we read about in God's word, they are many. They are beyond counting. And the fearful thing, if I can use that term, the thing that we need to be cautious about is that the enemy of our soul has a unique capacity of tailoring his devices for our culture, for our time, and even for us individually. I often say the thing that we need to be so very cautious about is the enemy of our soul knows the back doors to our heart. He knows the back doors to our heart. And so we need to be cautious and careful. We need to be very intentional in living in a consistent, committed, dependent relationship with the God of light, keeping that relationship strong, which comes to us through our life in Christ Jesus, recognizing that it is that relationship which will always, always, always be our strongest defense against the powers of darkness at work around us. Now, that is a little bit about the nature of the conflict. It is a conflict between darkness and light. Then let me talk just a second about the scope of this conflict, because it is broad. I think probably the most important thing I can say to us tonight is that it is both external and it is internal, and it touches every arena of life and every arena of history. Let's talk just a moment about the external aspect of this spiritual conflict. The appearance, or maybe we should say the profile and activity of spiritual conflict differs geographically from location to location, from place to place, and within those various locations, it can differ from person to person. Several of us in this room have had missionary experience, and we could tell you tales of some of the things that we have witnessed and some of the very overt presences and actions and activities of the powers of darkness that we mostly are not all that familiar with here in the United States, although I would contend that they do exist. They are around us. Africa may call their spiritual practitioner a witch doctor. We may call ours Susie's hotline that comes on TV at 11 o'clock at night, but there's really no difference in the intent and the force behind those. They are all expressions of the power, the powers of darkness, and for that reason, we have a great need to be careful and to be cautious. As I've already said, the ways of the enemy, they are so broad and so vast, external and also internal. In some locales and cultures and contexts, the spiritual struggle of the ages is far more overt, and can I even say startling, than it is in other places where it is more covert or undercover and subtle. When we first came to Springfield back in 1989, I remember a story that I heard at that particular time that two elderly ladies, I do not think they were ladies from Central as I recall, but two Christian ladies were in Shoney's, which used to be up on North Glenstone here. And as they sat there, they noticed a young couple across from them. When their food came, they bowed and prayed together. And this was 1989, and it so impressed these two elderly women that they got up and walked over to the table when they were ready to leave and spoke to that young couple and shared with them, "We really appreciate the overtness of your faith and the fact that you had the strength and the commitment to pray and ask God's blessings on your meal tonight," to which that young couple responded and said, "You have vastly misunderstood our actions and our intentions. We were not asking God's blessings on our food. We are Satanists, and we come here every week at this time to have our meal together, and so we were praying to Satan and not to the God that you thought we were." Right here in little old Springfield, Missouri, 25 years ago. So it's not as covert and it's not as subtle as we sometimes say it is. It is a work, it is a conflict that strives to neuter and neutralize spiritual voices. It works in a variety of ways, sometimes just to distract us, get us off the message that we should be focused on. Sometimes it tries to divert us. It works in a fashion of taking our energy, and we give our energy and our attention to things that really don't have kingdom value, but they've attracted us for some reason, and so we go after them instead of going after the main thing, which is Jesus, and that's just a work of the enemy to get our minds off of his call in our life. It can cause us to be preoccupied with other things, lesser things, or I just have to be honest and say that many times the wiles of the enemy are designed to outright destroy us, whether that is individually or collectively as the church. And again, it involves our decision-making, our reactions, our attitudes, all in an underlying effort to draw us away from the main thing, and that being a clear message of Jesus and truth and reality. That's what the word of the kingdom is. And the conflict going on about us is to try to drown out that message or at least divert us to an alternative message that doesn't have the impact of the real message of the kingdom. We find ourselves sometimes defending things that he, meaning Jesus, would never give his energy to defend. We can propagate and announce things that he, Jesus, would never announce or spread. This conflict between light and darkness can be manifested through 100 different things. It can be manifested through relationships between individuals. It can manifest by making us resistant. It can manifest by making us outright rebellious. It does have an external and an internal scope. Well, we've talked about the nature and we've talked about the scope. Let's talk for a moment about our focus, yours and mine. One of the subtle devices of the enemy, again, is that stealthy effort to blur our focus and divert us to another less significant, less eternal focus. I've even seen the forces of the enemy working to divert God's people to outright destructive issues or destructive causes or destructive ideas or destructive ideologies. It's easy, hear me, it's easy to find ourselves fighting for a position or fighting against a position when our focus really ought to be fighting from a position. For you see, we are engaged in the conflict, and we will be engaged with it to one degree or another as long as we strive to serve the Lord. And there's a significant difference there in fighting for a cause, fighting against a cause, or fighting from a position. And that's what the Lord really wants us to do first of all. I certainly am not saying that you and I should not have convictions. I'm certainly not saying that you and I should not have political views or social views. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, we should have every one of those, and we are such blessed and benefited people because we have the word of the kingdom to guide us in getting it right about every one of them, everything that comes along. We have an upper hand on getting it right and bringing our lives and our reactions into proper relationship with the kingdom of God. Citizens of God's kingdom, we are afloat among the kingdoms of this world this very night, and we need to stay focused. So we need to know the word of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, the values and goals and intentions of the king and his kingdom, and live them every day. Every invading voice into our lives carries kingdom potential, either positive potential or on occasion negative potential. So I would ask you tonight, from what foundation will we stand? What position will we engage in the conflict from? I want to change things up just a little bit, as I've said tonight, and I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to give you an exercise to work on, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. Remember now that the one thing I want us to determine tonight as we do this is our awareness that we are indeed engaged in a conflict between the God of light and the Prince of Darkness. We are there. And so I'm going to ask you to do this little exercise. I need somebody to come and help me hand some of these out so that everybody gets one. And then you just pursue this the same way you would your study time any other Wednesday night, except that I will come back and continue after we've worked on this just a bit. I wonder, as we turn back to a little bit more larger group discussion, if any of you or any of your tables have just a succinct sentence or two about what you find in these five verses relative to the conflict of kingdoms, the conflict between light and darkness, and what these five verses tell us. Does anybody just have something that you guys concluded that you feel like would be worth sharing with us? I've put a mic right here in the middle of the room, and if you'll name a spokesperson to just step to that mic and share with us, then we're going to go back through all of them real briefly together. But I wanted to hear from you and see if there's been any dramatic revelations as you've talked about these things around your table. Anybody? Any table? Don't be shy.
we kind of took that approach on our table, just summarizing him. So just down the passage, we talked about our equipping. We're equipped. He's blessed us with all these things. We're seated with Christ. And in the third one, we identified as enemy identification. It's an important battle to know who you really your enemy is. The next one, the power and authority that we have for this war. And then the eternal purpose, we identified it in the last one. It was through the church that his plan, wisdom to be made known.
Awesome. So you found good news and bad news and the end of the story, and that's excellent. Anybody else? Thanks for sharing that. I saw a couple of others of you starting to get up. Go ahead. Everybody backed out. Thank you, Jerry. I knew if I waited on you long enough, you'd yield.
I'll take the risk, Brother Don. We were just discussing at our table, since we are blessed in all the heavenly places, Christ is seated in the heavenly realms. But in chapter 6, verse 12, there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I was trying to reconcile, as you came to our table, whether this realms had anything to do with any physical location, even in the universe. And since light and darkness cannot abide together, your suggestion at it being a dimensional thing rather than a physical realm made sense, and I appreciate that. But the fact that there is conflict, and it was pointed out at our table by Ron Peck, I'll blame him for something, that I mentioned Ron, and mm-hmm. I forgot everything I knew now. But that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he very subtly sneaks in and brings deception into the kingdom.
Awesome. Tries to. Thank you. Very valuable. Very good insights. Heard a lot of good discussion as I moved around the room. Some of you ought to be adventuresome and get up and share what you were talking about. I didn't hear any bad discussion, in fact, as I moved about the room. Anyone else? Won't make anybody talk, won't call any names tonight. I may have to in the future. What you've got here in this particular exercise, focusing on Paul's letter to Ephesus, to the Ephesians, you've noted that five times the term heavenly realms appears. In some translations, that is translated heavenly places. Some translation, it mixes. It'll use heavenly realms on some occasions, and in other occasions, it will use heavenly places. If we look at them together, if we look at all five of them together, I believe that they provide some basic truth principles that we need to live by every day if we truly understand the conflict going on about us between light and right and darkness, and also informing us of our real destiny to overcome. How? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's look at them real quickly again, and I'm just going to give you a one-sentence summation that's not really very far off from what Don's table came up with earlier. And again, they are positive in some instances, and then they are warnings or negatives in other instances, but let's just go through them quickly. The first one, Ephesians 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I used to teach this topic quite a bit, especially to new missionaries that were in a transition mode in their life from the modern Western culture of the United States to the far corners of the world, many of them much more overt in the evidence of the powers of darkness. And so I taught this. And I really believe that these five scriptures give us a lot of basic insights that if we can remember them, they will be helpful to us. That particular verse of scripture, I think, can be summed up in just about six words. And same thing Don said earlier, spiritual blessings for us originate in the heavenly realms. We need to realize what our source is. Spiritual blessings come to us out of that heavenly realm. That's point number one. Then Ephesians 2 and 6, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That tells me that we actually have spiritual roots in that heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. So those are two very strong positives. Blessings emanate from that heavenly realm into our lives. Why? Because our roots are planted in that heavenly realm of God's kingdom if we are His followers. Ephesians 6 and 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil, where? In the heavenly realms. I call this a negative word, but it's positive in the sense that it's a warning to us that there is around us a host of powerful spiritual enemies that are clearly aligned against Christ and against His church, emanating from that heavenly realm. So that's a negative. We've got enemies in that realm. There's two kingdoms. That's where the crux of the conflict is located, in the heavenly realm. And I did say to Jerry's table that we need to understand that as being dimensional rather than geographical. You can't point and say, there's the kingdom of God over there 15 miles away. No more can you say, there's the heavenly realms over here 10 miles away. That it's not a geographical issue. It's a dimensional issue. In a spiritual dimension that you and I cannot often see, we know that it's around us, but it's another dimension other than what we are in. These spiritual forces are at conflict, and that just flows over into our lives as well. That's what we live and experience every day. So we have blessings that flow from the spiritual realm. Our roots as children of God are planted in the spiritual realm. However, there are strong, powerful enemies set against us emanating from the spiritual realms. Then Ephesians 1 says that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead, seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come, telling you and me that superiority in those heavenly realms, superiority between those conflicting forces belongs to Jesus Christ and His church. Don't ever doubt it. Don't ever fear it. He has the upper hand. Superiority belongs to Him. And then finally, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold witness of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Meaning that through the church, the wisdom of God is going to be made known to all powers of every title, whichever side they're on, in the heavenly realms. It's ultimately going to come down to the wisdom of God through his people and through the church. So if you just look at those five summary comments, we find that Paul is saying to the Ephesians, your blessings originate in the heavenly realms or in heavenly places. They are spiritual in nature. Secondly, he says, you have spiritual roots that go deep into the heavenly kingdom because of your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, however, be on guard because in that same heavenly realm, there is a conflict going on, and therein we have strong, powerful enemies that are set against us on every hand. And then he gives us encouragement again by saying, in the end, however great that conflict may rage, in the end, the one who comes out on top is Christ and his church. And through Christ and his church, the wisdom of God will be made known. You know what I think that says in our modern day vernacular? They can struggle and fight all they want to, but they'll find out in the end who's superior. That's what I believe that scripture is saying to us. Now, that's the way you and I ought to go about living a kingdom life in an atmosphere of spiritual conflict. You can't listen to every voice around us and automatically conclude, that's it. I'm going to give my time and my energy and my money to that. No. We're more cautious than that. We want to make sure we know what the source of the voice is, and then we want to apply kingdom principles and kingdom values to it and keep our focus, laser focus, upon the word of God's kingdom. I believe we work from a strategic plan. As Christians in this world, I believe we work in a very strategic and a very planned way. It may not be the plan that you would think, but I think it's very important. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, as it reads in the classic Amplified Bible, the classic version, it says this, 1 Peter 5 and 8, be well balanced, be temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant, be cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Boy, that's a pretty vivid picture, isn't it, of the conflict going on around us. I believe that verse of scripture tells us that our strategic point number one is to be aware. We are to be aware that we are engaged in a spiritual conflict. When you read the newspapers, when you read the headlines, when you see the trends of the day, when you look at things on television that you thought your eyes would never behold in public, the way they're used and the words that are used and the images, and you're just shaking your head, just be aware of what's going on. Secondly, know and don't forget that this conflict is not a game. It is not a game. It is life and death. Therefore, we need to learn to use every weapon God has issued for our spiritual protection and for our offensive moves against the enemy. We need to recognize that truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation are more than Christian vocabulary. I've said that three times tonight because I consider them to be very, very important. We need to stand on that vocabulary and use that vocabulary in resisting the work of the enemy. Learn how to use them and learn how to apply those. And then we also need to rely on Scripture because it's one of our most reliable and indispensable weapons. What was it when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? How did he counteract the temptations of the enemy? It is written. It is written. It is written. That is the word of the kingdom. I love that phrase from last week's lesson. Learn the word of the kingdom. What is the message of God's kingdom? What are the principles and the values that the Lord wants his kingdom to give off and to give out? And then pray. That has to be part of our strategy. Be wide awake. Don't sleep. Be an influence. Invest in keeping the body focused on Jesus. There may be moments when you just sense that the conversation is getting off-centered. Be bold enough to bring it back to center and make sure that it's focused up on Jesus and who He is. In every circumstance, you need to conclude that God is strong and His strength, His grace, and His wisdom are available to every one of us every day of our lives, no matter how thick the battle may be. And finally, it is well possible to stand for the kingdom of God and to prevail. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, again from the Message, says, "Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am." God is strength, and resources are available every day in every way as we go about living amidst this spiritual conflict that is so very real in the world today. So we've got the promise of victory. We've got the promise of who comes out on top in the end. Let's just give ourselves to pursuing it with everything that we have. Can you say amen to that? Amen. God, give us grace and give us wisdom and give us ever-growing understanding as we fight the good fight of faith, as it were, and go forward for God's kingdom, standing up for Him. Well, that's our final lesson for this year. We'll be back next week for fellowship, and pray that everybody here has a wonderful Christmas season. But tonight, before we go, I'd like for you just to close yourself in as a table, share your needs with one another, spend some time in prayer. There's an offering bag on your table as well. Don't forget to use that. And when you're finished, you can just consider yourself dismissed, and we'll see you this coming Lord's Day or Friday night for our dinner if you're planning to be there for that. God bless you.